So what has the FBI or the U.S. Attorney's Office said to you when you tell them what you've just told us?
That I have nothing to worry about, but I have not felt safe from the day that the FBI agents came to my mother's house. Because those accomplices are still out there and not being charged.
But they brought charges against your husband, obviously, for essentially what amounts to a murder-for-hire plot. And you're telling us that he's innocent.
Yes, I am.
Your name, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Tom with KHQ. You're telling us that he's innocent. They file charges. They don't file charges against anybody unless they believe they have evidence. So
they have not provided reliable evidence.
Have you heard any of the tapes?
Yes, I have.
And what is it like to hear your husband's voice on those tapes, you know, under the assumption, at least by the FBI, that he's guilty of this?
You know, this whole thing has been very upsetting to me for a number of reasons. But I went into listening to those tapes because this is my life, my mother's lives, and so many other lives important. I know I had to go in there and determine what I felt about those tapes. I have come out of listening to those tapes, and to this day, I believe my husband is innocent. And I stand by that, and there, in regards to those tapes, they are unreliable.
Do you think they were manufactured?
I'm not a technological person. Tapes can be manufactured, as I have been told. All I know that those tapes did not convince me.
Voice cloning technology is readily available.
Reading over these bullet points, Cindy, thank you for meeting with us. Also, I know it's been hard for you and your family. Tanya, KXLY.
Hi, Tanya.
You had mentioned that basically Larry Fairfax cooked this up because of $45,000 worth of silver coins that he stole from your house.
Yes.
Do you have proof of that?
I am getting that proof together now, because I had to figure out what the FBI took from me, because so that I wasn't charging the FBI from stealing it.
Because Larry said that your husband had paid him with those gold coins for the murder for hire.
Well, I knew before the arrest that he was stealing from us, and there is $45,000 missing, and he was stealing it from us.
Now, is this a case that you think the FBI is conspiring with Mr. Fairfax, or that they too quickly believe Mr. Fairfax?
Well, I think they were too quick to believe Mr. Fairfax, yes. And he wasn't being truthful. He went to them without telling them about placing a bomb on my car. That's not being truthful. The most dangerous part of this whole thing is that bomb that was on my car. From sometime in the end of May, clear to the 15th, I'm traveling from Oregon to Idaho through Washington. I can't forget that because I have to come through Washington with that bomb on my car. That's not being truthful.
So I'm Marissa Bagley.
Hi.
What would it take for you to believe that your husband was possibly trying to kill you? It seems to the
proof.
To the eye of the viewer that there is a lot of evidence out there. But what would it take for you to believe it?
Proof. They have not given me proof, and they keep changing their stories every time that they're looking for the motive or they're looking for this. They change their stories. If you're telling the truth, you do not change your stories.
And what have they said about a motive?
Life insurance. There is none. I had a boyfriend. There is none. He has a girlfriend. There is none. There's tons of them. Every time. Putting pressure on me to believe their story. Everybody. I will say it again. I have to believe what I see as truth and it is important for me because it is my life at stake.
Incidentally, that's called witness tampering, when the FBI agents were pressuring her.
What can you tell us more about that meeting back in June when you got together with, or when they showed up at your mother's house?
I can tell you that they told me that there were people out there to run me off the road. I can tell you that they told me when they released me that I was safe because they had been arrested.
A complete lie. They hadn't arrested anybody.
And now they're backtracking on that. They let my mom and me go because I had to take her to emergency, or not emergency, but a very important doctor's appointment. And they said I was perfectly safe because they had the two people arrested that were going to run us off the road, and we no longer had anything to worry about.
Cindy, as you mentioned, you want your husband to be innocent until proven guilty.
No, I don't want him to be innocent. He is innocent.
You just mentioned, in our legal system, it's important until people go to trial, and they basically face those charges and they're in a court of law, that's when it will be determined. Do you expect the U.S. Prosecutor's Office to throw all their cards out on the table to tell you this is all the evidence that we have, these are all the facts that we have? You're asking them to show you proof. They might have that proof, but you're not at trial yet. Your husband's not at trial yet. Do you expect...
So then the presumption of innocence is what prevails here. And the proof that they have shown me thus far, he is innocent, and thus I stand by that, and that is... all Americans' rights.
So you've indicated that before this voicemail that was played, that you believe the FBI knew about the pipe bomb.
Yes.
And what led you to believe that?
Because the word bomb was on the tape. No matter who said it or whatever said it, the word bomb was on the ninth. I can't tell you, I listened to an hour and a half of tapes, the ninth through the tenth, and the word bomb was on there. They claim that they knew everything that was on that tape, and if they did, even if whether the bomb at that time was real, they should have been checking my car out and not letting me drive back until they checked that car out. That is why I believe they at least knew by then, if not before.
You were in Oregon on...
Yes. Right? Yes, I was.
And they had contacted you in Oregon right on the 9th?
On the 11th.
Why did you take your car in that day? Was it for a random oil change?
Because I wasn't staying at home. I didn't feel safe staying at home. I was staying down here in Coeur d'Alene. I had the first hearing was supposed to be the day before, got canceled. I had to check out of the room because, frankly, I didn't, you know, most of my money had been taken. I didn't know how I was going to live. So I checked out, and I had hours to spare. I also had a car that I'd been driving back and forth to take care of my husband when he was sick, and then back to Oregon to take care of my mother when she was sick. And the last thing I needed was my car breaking down, and it was overdue for an oil change. So to keep my nerves under control, I decided to do something that was useful. So God was looking over my shoulder. I went to get my oil changed. And, you know, I thank Josh Young for, I mean, anybody would have found it, but he was the one that had to look at that bomb and come and tell me.
Take us back to that day. They found the bomb on the car. You obviously, had you already heard the tapes at that point? You knew about this bomb, that there was a possibility?
No, I hadn't heard the tapes until, well, I've only heard two of the tapes because they have not been able to produce the third tape yet.
So once the bomb squad comes out, the Coeur d'Alene police, everybody, they take care of the situation, as you said. Did you talk to the U.S. Attorney's Office at all then?
Yes, I did.
And what did they tell you then?
They weren't telling me much, even though I was calling my kids, I was calling my mother. I had cars from Texas to Oregon checked out because at that point my past threats were feeling very real to me. When my daughter was 9 years old, not only her but every one of our family members got a threatening phone call telling that they were going to kill every single one of us. I have, ever since then, been leery, not knowing who is coming after me, or my husband. I'm not, you know, I believe my husband is the target, not me. But they're using me to go after my husband. And you know, I told them about that. And then that same day, I was told by a U.S. Marshal that they were not going to provide me any protection.
What's been the hardest part of not having your husband at home? Just on a day-to-day basis? I mean,
dealing with financial problems. Not having my friend. Everything. He's been my life for 25 years.
And what did the tapes from the 9th and the 10th, what did they say about the bomb? You said you heard the word bomb on the tapes. So
those tapes were very hard to hear. I had to put my ear down right to the speaker to hear. But you know, the word bomb really sticks out to somebody. You know, I can't repeat exactly what was said before or after, because that word jumped out at me. Because it hits very close to home. So, you know, and that was a long time of hearing. An hour and a half of tapes. There was a... But
did,
that were...
Did you ask FBI agent Sotka?
Mike Sotka, yes.
Did you ask him about that?
Yes, I did.
What did he say?
He said he didn't hear it.
Did he tell you that he was taking notes?
He had told me that he was taking notes and writing down during the... when he was taping it, what my husband was saying. But he didn't tell me about that.
Can you be more specific? He didn't tell you what exactly?
About the bomb. Hearing the word bomb on there.
And this was before you had taken your car in?
Yes, that was.
The FBI heard the tapes before she took the car. She didn't hear the tapes until after she took
the car. I didn't hear the tapes until on the 21st of June.
The whole time you've been saying that, and that's understandable. If there was a bomb on your car, you'd want somebody to look for it. Obviously, you believe in your husband's innocence.
Yes, I do.
That's up here behind you. I'm kind of confused at what you think the federal government's motive would be to frame Edgar Steele for this.
That's for you to find out. You guys are the investigative reporters.
And I'm asking you, you called a press conference.
I heard a lot of criticism from the press of Mr. Steele. Okay, but I haven't seen anybody do any serious investigative reporting, and I think this is right for that. You have the opportunity, and I think you can find the motive for the federal government to do this. They've done it before. Politically, people who are politically incorrect often get prosecuted by the federal government, but the media will not acknowledge that. Maybe you will in this case.
Cindy, you said that you know that Fairfax was stealing these coins. Where were they held, and how do you know definitively that he was stealing these as opposed to your husband paying him like the FBI?
How do you know my husband was paying him and he didn't steal it?
You said you knew that Mr. Fairfax was stealing them. How do you, what's your
Because
that?
Prior to this happening, my husband found Larry Fairfax going through our house, uninvited, going through our house without our knowledge, and going through our things. And he also had the opportunity to go through and find things on our place.
$45,000 worth of silver coins, where would you keep those? That's a significant value.
Well, you know, that's like me telling you where my safe and the combination is to my safes. I'm on our place. Different places. We spread it out where they were hid, out in our outer buildings and in our, you know, in the house.
The point is that the FBI says that he was paid $10,000. Larry Fairfax has cashed in a lot more than $10,000 in silver coins.
What kind of work did he do around your house?
He's built buildings, outer buildings. He has done excavation, he has done just plumbing, he has done various work since about 98 off and on.
And what leads you to believe he's been a DEA informant in the past? Do you have information on that?
That has been information that has come in to us anonymously or from sources.
Why after so long? I mean, it's been 3.5, well, almost, I guess, 3 months, longer than that. Why have you decided to talk to us today? Why does Trevor...
Because Larry Fairfax is going to be let... If they have their way, Larry Fairfax is going to be let off by with a simple, easy 18-month plea agreement for attempting to murder me and for the safety of me and the fact that they have not brought and charged these other accomplices means that I'm not going to be any safer and the government is not doing their job. And that is why I am coming forward now.
Can you talk about the criticism of Mr. Steele that he's received from the press? Can you talk about how the media has criticized him since his arrest?
The media seems to want to tie his prior representation of one particular client to every media story. And it just doesn't make sense. I mean, this is an independent story. It doesn't necessarily involve a client that he represented a few years ago. But yet the media seems to think that's kind of a hot button, especially in this community. People really react to that. It's almost like you want to create prejudice against somebody, you tie them to a particular interest group, and then you can create a lot of hatred. And by the way, the family has received more hate calls since Steele's arrest. So the media has done a good job of fomenting that by keeping the word Aryan Nations out in front of the public. We think that's inappropriate.
But that was Steele's decision to defend them when he did.
Every client has a right to defend people. And why do you have to keep using that? Because you know it is to put him in a bad light.
It inflames the public.
Do you feel that representing, being just said that I represent the Aryan Nations, do you feel that that's a criticism?
No, it's not relevant. It's not relevant to this investigation.
It's not relevant to this investigation, sir.
Well, it's relevant to how people know him.
Because that helps.
Well, you know, you want to do fair and balanced reporting or you want to just keep beating the same drum? That's the question. We'll be watching and we'll be very interested to see how the media is going to be reacting on this case in the future.
Do you share Edgar Steele's beliefs on, you know, politics and Jewish people and so on?
You're asking me for my personal belief system? I don't know how it's relevant, but I'll tell you, I've never met Edgar Steele before. I came forward, and I am representing Mrs. Steele pro bono because I'm absolutely outraged at what's going on here. First of all, that an attorney has been charged with this murder-for-hire crime, which the FBI uses on a regular basis against people that they don't like.
Can you cite other cases where it's been used?
Yes, I can. David Hinkson in the Grangeville area. In 2005, complete fraudulent case against him. And then during the middle of that trial, the FBI accused me of conspiring with my client to kill 22 people in a murder for hire. It was absolutely bizarre. I'm telling you, the FBI has done this before, and they'll do it again unless the media gets after them. The only thing that solves corruption in government is exposure.
Oh. Anything else you'd like to add, Mrs. Steele, while we're here?
I just thank you for coming and being willing to listen to me.
You said you met with the U.S. Attorney's Office today. How did that meeting go? What was discussed there?
I don't think I'm ready to discuss that.
Sir, can you spell your name for me?
H-O-Y-T. I'd like to say one more thing. This bomb that was underneath her car was described by a member of the Bureau of Alcohol, Firearms, and Explosives as being a lethal weapon. And it was described by him as being one of the largest pipe bombs he has ever seen. The bottom line is, it's a weapon of mass destruction. If that thing had blown off in a highly populated area, it would have killed a lot of people. That's no different than what Al Capone did and when he went out and sprayed people with bullets as he was robbing banks. The number one person on the FBI's wanted list should be the accomplice of Mr. Fairfax. If he had pulled this off and this bomb had exploded, it would have been a devastation.
The only other thing I wanted to bring up, we think it's important to mention him, who he has represented in the past, because you even mentioned that you think the FBI was going after him because he had been outspoken.
Yes.
In that way before. So that is one reason we as the media think it's important to point out that case. You all are pointing it out as well. As to why the FBI is going after him, correct?
For that, and the fact that the FBI knew about those past threats, knew who it came from, which was the ADL, and they didn't do anything about that when we got threats, even though they knew who it came from.
Are you calling the Aryan Nations the politically incorrect?
Absolutely.
Are there other cases that you think garnered him national attention or threats, at least?
Christine
family. That was very
the Christine family. Yes, Russian blue. I don't say it right. Prussian blue.
He was investigating human trafficking at the time.
Yes, he was very involved in human trafficking, trying to bring a human trafficking case.
Nancy Schaefer, a state senator from the state of Georgia, was murdered. Well, they say it was suicide, but she shot herself in the head twice in March of this year. The bottom line is that anybody that investigates human trafficking seems to end up dead.
And you said Mr. Steele was investigating?
Yes.
Currently?
Yes.
In the last few months before his arrest?
Well, he got sidetracked when he was very ill. But, yes, he was. He was very much into trying to bring this human trafficking case down.
Can you talk about that case?
No, I can't, because it's still a case. I mean, it's in limbo now, but, you know, I know of it. There's reasons I know about it, because as a husband and wife, there were aspects about that I needed to know what was going on. But it is still has to be an attorney-client privilege or quiet or
so,
sorry, I
so
don't know the right.
Somebody who was charged with human trafficking, and he was
no.
He was trying to solve a human trafficking case, trying to prevent human trafficking and expose it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.